It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm really delighted that you are joining in for this next hour of conversation. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And the word mission is popping up a lot for me today, so I guess I'm going to use it here. I'm on a mission to help people really remember new things about money that they didn't think they ever really knew in the first place, but that money, we're really in relationship with money. And that relationship is rooted in divinity. And that when we remember that we get to be the leader of this money relationship, things really start to change both in our experience of money. There's a lot less struggle. There's a lot less pain. And there's a change in our bank accounts as well. So that's what I'm all about. And, you know, I was talking to a client the other day, and we were talking about the money relationship. We were talking about these divine roots. And she said, Jennifer, I get this intellectually. I really do. But she said, money is one of the most earthly things I can imagine. How can it possibly have roots in the divine? She's like, I get it, but I don't. And I think that's really a catch for a lot of us. I think a lot of us think of money as transactional, right? I put in my 40 hours, my 50 hours, my 60 hours, whatever, and then I get a salary back. Or I go to the grocery store and I want bananas. So I give you my $5 and you get bananas back, right? And that's sort of how we think about money. And maybe if we kept it as clean as that, we wouldn't have issues with money. But we don't keep it clean like that. We end up giving money all kinds of jobs to do, which maybe we're not even aware that we're doing. And as we do that, those decisions start influencing us and how we're making decisions, how we're spending our life. And we kind of get caught up in a spiral that we don't even know that we're part of. So that's what I want to talk about today. And I've brought in a really fun guest, a really knowledgeable guest. I'm so glad that she's here. And we are going to talk about money's starring role in your life. What is that role? If you don't like the role that it's playing, how do you change it? How do you make money your ally, right? So I want to introduce all of you to Maida Pak. And welcome, Maida. I'm really glad that you're joining.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me. And your word resonated so well with me because I'm a highly intellectual person. And it's very easy for me to understand what spirituality is. And it has always been very easy. But the funny part is that, as you said, we have a lot of issues considering money as being something spiritual and divine, but we don't have any problem considering food as being that, or even our bodies. We can intellectualize the fact that our body is a vehicle, is a divine vehicle. We understand that we can be mindful about food. We give grace and we bless our foods. But all of a sudden, money becomes something almost disgusting. it's like this thing that, no, I'm not touching this. This is not for me. And yet, the moment we step into this, as you said, this love relationship with money, or even a neutral relationship with money, and all of a sudden we realize, holy, I've been my whole life avoiding or hurting. But, and I'm going to tell you, as for me, for example, I realized that the controlling part of me, this human controlling part of me, has been doing to money exactly what I have been doing with foods in my life. I have been either hoarding foods for survival or just throwing food away because I could not bear the thought of having too much food and, you know, all sorts of crazy type of unhealthy behaviors. And money is the same thing. So thank you for inviting me to talk about that.
Yes, absolutely. And you have, you know, your background is quite different than mine. I'm a science person. I'm a spirituality person. That's where my training lies. And you came from the world of investment banking, right? You've many different cities across the world. And so you really have your hand in the very physical aspect of money. And now, of course, you're doing your coaching, you're working with people with life and career coaching. So, but that background, I think, is really fascinating. And I think we have, you know, two different perspectives or two different routes, right, with money. And so I think this is going to be a really lovely conversation here. And your point about we're willing to bless our food, we're willing to see our bodies as these divine vehicles, but money is ick, right? And at the same time, we spend a lot of our life working for money. So it becomes this incredible push-pull. I want it, but I don't want it. I want it, but I don't want it. I love it, but I hate it. And that's tricky to invite anything into our lives if there's a lot of turmoil around it.
Yeah, it's you know, when you start obsessing about something, it kind of takes over. It takes a life on its own. And when the obsession, obviously, usually the obsessions are, I'm terming it in the negative way. It takes a life on its own. And you start hating yourself, you start rotting inside. And comes that time in that hero's journey. And I see the money relationship as being also a hero's journey on itself. And as we start this hero's journey, we go to the lowest point, right? And this is where you hear all these celebrities and what have you saying, you know, I was starving, or Steve Jobs, who was sleeping at friends' couches before having the big revelation. And it's the same thing with money. It's at some point, obviously, we're spiritual people. Obviously, we know better that we don't need to wait for the crisis to wake up. And yet.
Yeah. And I think that it's interesting because the crisis can either be, you know, I ended up going through bankruptcy. That was my crisis. So there was no money. But the crisis doesn't have to be about having no money. The crisis can also be surrounded by a lot of money that you do have, but you don't like what your life looks like, right? You don't like how you're bringing that money in, or the effort that it is required to bring it in. Or you can be surrounded by that money and still feel like maybe I did when I was in that bankruptcy place, like it's just not enough. How can there ever be enough for me, right?
Absolutely. And I will give you my first wake up call, although I did not listen, but it, you know, I need sometimes. But my first wake up call was in 2008, 2009. And again, being on Wall Street, and I used to do all the big IPOs. So I can see the amount of money that you can raise. I can see how much funds have money. And again, funds, investment funds, there are teachers' money, there are all our retirement accounts as well. It's not only rich people, it's everybody's. What the biggest wake-up call for me was to be surrounded by people who earned, honestly, a lot of money. Not everybody earns a lot of money on Wall Street. There are people who are of all walks of life and all sorts of jobs, but there are some people who have accumulated a lot of wealth. And seeing these people entering into a sort of PTSD because the markets was losing, was failing, banks were failing, their jobs were failing. It was close to irrational. And yet these were people who still have their summer house. They were scared about losing their nanny. That was the biggest problem. But it was such a huge problem because money, again, was about shaking their foundations. And we will talk about this foundation. What does money mean to you? And it will be different for each person.
Definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. So can you talk a little bit briefly? We got a couple minutes before we have to go to break, but if you can share a little bit about your aha around money representing to you something other than simply a resource that you could buy food and clothing and housing with.
Absolutely. When I was still in my corporate job, at some point in my career, I earned a very decent amount of money. And I hated that money. I just couldn't wait to give it. I was showering people with gifts, my family, as far away from me as possible. Because for me, this money, I wasn't working hard enough to earn it. So for me, waking up at 4 in the morning and clocking out at 9 in the evening was never. And I just could not understand. Going back to my spiritual journey, at some point, I realized that what was triggering me was something that has been inside of me throughout my life, was I don't care about money in itself. What I do care about is a sense of safety. And as long as I don't feel safe, I'm going to try to find a representation of that safety. And what better sense of safety than money? So for me, when money was coming in, it was not giving me that safety, because the safety is an inside job. Again, it's very earthy. It's your first chakra, what have you. It's a survival, but it's an inside job. And the same when I started working with other people as well, I started observing that what I thought was universal, money is safety, is actually not that universal. It is for everybody, but you can get comfortable. And then there are a lot of other layers that play into this kind of love-hate relationship that we have and we should not have with money.
Yeah. And, you know, it takes a lot of peeling the layers back, doesn't it, to get to that point of being able to say, oh, this is about safety for me, right? This isn't about anything else, not about anybody else. It's about me creating this foundation of safety. Once you have that understanding, right, then you can say, and we'll get to this more of this in the next segment, but then you can start looking at how you've been making decisions to maintain that safety, all under the illusion that it's the money, right? I need to do this for the money, or I need to get rid of this because of the money, or I need to make this decision with my money. But when you come back to the, oh, wait a minute, I'm just trying to stay safe here. Right, then you get a much better understanding of what your whole life picture has looked like, and then what you can do about it.
Absolutely. It's like everything. Once you have the awareness, when you understand where this is coming from, it's very liberating. It's not enough, because you have to do all the reprogramming work, all this self-talk, as in, you know, it's not that, it's different. And then you start these micro shifts, and all of a sudden you look at money and you say, okay, I see you. Sorry, yeah. I hurt you. Please forgive me. I love you and God bless you.
Yes, absolutely. Little Ho'oponopono in there. I love it. All right. So tell you what, we need to take a quick break. All right. So you are listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance here on Transformation Talk Radio. And when we come back, Maida and I are going to talk about what money might be representing to you. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
Your inspiration all day on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. We're back to Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Maida Pak. So Maida, before we jump back into the conversation that we've been having, can you let our listeners know how they can learn more about you?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You can go on my website, which is maidapakcoaching.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, Maida Pak, on Instagram, same thing, and on Facebook, Maida Pak Coaching.
Yes, lots of really great resources in all of those social media outlets. So I would encourage everybody to take a look, because there's a lot you can learn from her in what she brings out. So, okay, so we have been talking about money as a hero's journey. We've been talking about it as being more than just the tool, the resource that it is. And we were talking about how often it represents something more to us than simply I have cash in my hand and I can trade it for a dress or a meal. So in your work with your clients, Maida, what other things do you find that people are using money for that isn't that transactional requirement?
Yes. So we give money a whole new life. It becomes a person, or it becomes a super tool or a super resource, which is really not. It's just a form of energy, as you have been teaching all of us. So I have identified five representations of money. We are a combination of all of it. We're not one or the other, and we evolve throughout time, throughout experiences, and we might have others, but these are the five main themes for me. So I spoke earlier about safety. I'm going to speak also about freedom. So freedom, this is people who have, I'm going to say, probably the safest, soundest way of seeing money is a way for you to, you have enough money in the bank, you use it because you want to become an entrepreneur, or because if something happens, you can just leave wherever you are, but you have enough reserves and what have you. It's a very kind of gentle way of representing money, and hopefully all of us will get to that point. The third way is status. I live in New York City, so it's all over me.
Yes. Keeping up with the Joneses on steroids, yes?
It's crazy. Yeah. Yes. And it's extremely harmful, because the same way, whatever you're giving as a power to money, you are likely to have that as well in your relationships. Personal relationships at work, with people above you, below you, with your family. So it's important to see money as a very powerful messenger for things that are working and not working. And then you can, you know, once you clean one part, it usually just trickles all across. So freedom, safety, status, power. Yeah. This is classic, maybe a bit old school, but the husband, you saw, for example, your parent, your father, give money to your mother who wasn't working, for example, and just like, go and buy yourself something nice, or, you know, you have spent this much, can I have more? And it goes into a whole, there's a lot of power and codependency around that. And this can also influence the way you want to feel about money. Let's say that you think that having a lot of money will make you somebody who will be respected, for example. So you have power, so you impose your views on the world. And the fifth one, which is, for me, it's a bit of a flavor of all of them, but it's also a separate one, because it needs really to be taken care of whenever you can, as early as possible. When money represents your self-worth, when your value on earth is about how much you have in the bank account, because if you don't have this money, then you don't have that it bag, then you cannot go with your friends to have this meal. It completely excludes you in a way from the civilization or the society where you live. And you just equate your bank account or your possessions to who you really are. And maybe this is why we sometimes have a little bit of trouble to understanding that money is spiritual, because once you separate both, there is coexistence in both, and one enhances the other. Self-worth is a tough one because there are solutions, of course, but it's a tough one because it goes to your core as a soul. In that case, this is the most difficult one, I find.
Yeah, and you know, I will raise my hand. Self-worth was mine. I shouldn't say was, right? I think it's ongoing. I think we're always discovering new layers about ourselves. But this is also why I say money has been my teacher. Money has been my spiritual teacher, which is sort of an interesting thing to think about. But I really saw money, and it was about, okay, if I have money in the bank, that proves there are people out there who believe in what I'm sharing. But that's a self-defeating cycle, right? Because if I'm not willing to share who I am until there's people out there who are responding to me, I'm never putting myself out there, right? So it was very defeating. And that's where the bankruptcy came from. It was the representation of self-worth. And so, of course, that led to low point. Hero steps out, step two on the journey, and really understands more that soul and money are completely separate. And when I say it out loud, and there's that intellect, the intellect goes, well, duh. But we come up with these really kind of stories that you can't always tease them apart as to why. All right, so we have these five different representations. I love how you said that we're a little bit of maybe of all of them. And so what do you do once you sort of have teased this apart and you recognize, hey, I'm now allowing money to stand in for something that it really isn't? What's the next step as far as you're concerned?
Yeah. So for me, there are two next steps, I would say. Number one is where this is coming from. And without going to therapy, it's right. Important to separate whose voice is it in your head. So I'm going back to, for example, some of the examples. For me, safety, I come from a family. So it's a lot of it. For me, it's only family. It's very simple. It's my father comes from a family of Armenian survivors. They didn't have a lot of money. My mom comes from more kind of very established intellectual family, the sages and what have you. They had money, they lost it. We left Syria, where we used to live. My parents left and left everything behind, starting at zero when they were in their late 30s with two kids is not for the faint of heart. So for me, money has always been my safety. If they didn't have the intellectual resources, but also a bit of money to get us out of Syria, God knows where we would be today. So once I identify this, I separate myself from my story. Is that, am I really that unsafe right now? I have emergency funds. How much is enough? And then my brain is going to go there because we're talking about survival there. It's the lowest on the scale, the most important part as well. How much is enough? Once I am enough, then I stop the money talk in my head. I put a stop and I continue. So for a lot of people, the same way we model our relationships with our significant others or even outside relationships or with our bosses, a lot of it comes from our parental model, from our communities and what have you. I'm going also to say that early life experiences in terms of being rejected at school for not having the fancy stuff can be also a scar. And then there is society as a whole. Judeo-Christian kind of society in which we live. Money is a root of all evil, blah, blah, blah. You know, give back to Caesar. And we have been conditioned to hate money. Money is icky. Money is for politicians. Whereas in reality, money is our power back to the people and to us. This is, you know, the purchasing power what it is. Yeah. It's that. It's not your words or mine. It's how I pay my dollars. And my dollars decide what I want to do with it. So going back to that, and then we can work with each of these parameters. So if money is freedom for you, good for you. Let's work on something. If money is status, is what are other ways for you that you can shine your light in the world that is not just be flaunting, you know, this it bag or what have you. What can you do with money? For some people, is giving to charity is a very powerful way of feeling good about themselves because they have the status, but nobody knows about it. So they feel good inside. Power, we're going back to basics. What are we, you know, we're all souls in here. What are we trying to play with? And for the self-worth is about rediscovering who you are as a soul, as a human being, as a soul incarnated in that body with your archetypes, with a lot of different things, and rediscover this nobleness that is inside of you that has nothing to do with how who you know, how much money you have, or even going out with friends. This does not define you. Happiness is the proverbial inside job. And once you are happy with who you are, then money is going to be a second thought, not the obsession anymore. It's going to be, no, I cannot go out with you guys today because right now I'm saving money for this. And it's a yes to yourself. It's a no to anything that feels iffy. Money and boundaries have a very interesting relationship as well, especially for women. So this is when the self-worth as well comes into play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So much wisdom. There's so many things that we could talk about based on everything that, that you just shared. And, you know, I think what I'd like to do, we're going to go to break in just a second, but I'd like to talk about two things when we come back. The first is power and how we're and how we can reframe that sense of power and money, because I think that a lot of us, even if power isn't what money represents, we get worried that if we have too much money, maybe that's going to change our character in some way. Maybe we will act as some of these powerful people, right? So I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about the inside job piece, because you are so right. If we can bring what we think money represents and bring it inside and know that for ourselves, then we get, then money just, it's like I can, my image of it is like, all of this awful stuff just keeps falling off of money. So go ahead and this is Jennifer Bloom on Soul Wisdom, Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio. We are gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Maida Pak. So Maida, before we went to break, we were talking about this idea about money and power. And, you know, as we work through this last segment together and really helping people know what they can do to make money kind of as their ally, we can't not talk about power. Because as I was saying before we went to break, whether power is what money represents to us, or whether we have a fear of power, that I think it's important for us to kind of work that out in our own minds as to the equation of money and power.
Absolutely. And let's go back to real basics. Money is neutral. Money is energy. That's it. Number two, we are all souls. There isn't here, at least on Earth, one soul that is better or bigger or smaller than the other. These are ego talk. Anytime we are comparing ourselves to something that is external, we are in the ego state. We are not talking from our soul. How can a soul be powerful when it has a lot of money? A soul can be powerful when you are operating from a state of consciousness. So whenever you are, let's say that you have this fear of having a lot of money, and see how people, there's this people who win at the lottery and what have you, and we all see all this kind of doom and gloom around them, and they lose everything. And there's this kind of self-sabotaging feature, is that when we feel too powerful, we get scared. And I think it's Marianne Williamson who said that we are scared about our greatness and not about our smallness. And I think that if we go back to being souls and to being incarnated, what are we here for? You talked earlier about being here in a mission. What if our mission is to be able to handle the most incredibly powerful resources that we have here on Earth for our highest good and the highest good of all? When you are aligned with your values, when you are aligned in your actions, there is absolutely nothing to fear, because number one, nobody can touch you. Your energy will speak for itself. Number two, you know yourself enough and your triggers, so that whenever there is, let's say you have $1 million to spare, you have no idea what to do with it, you would like to do something good about it. You choose your charities. Nobody needs to know that it's coming from you. If it feels iffy, if it feels that you are giving, you know, there is an attachment, you're waiting for something in exchange, then you go back inside. It's like, okay, ego, what is happening over there? Same with spending. If you feel iffy about spending money in fast fashion, then don't. Nobody's making you do that. And it goes for everything. I think really our mission right now is this increased awareness about where we put our money, how we are using our energies, how we are using even our mental energy right now. Are we here to lash out and blame everybody? Or are we here to find that compassion inside of ourselves and to say, okay, I'm here to listen. I'm here to be a safe place so that I can receive the word from the other person and then give whatever they want me to give them. Yeah, same with money.
Beautiful. So beautifully said. You know, there's so much happening in our world right now, and I think, you know, there are a lot of people who feel very powerless. Yeah. And I think that one of the things that we look to when we're feeling powerless, we look at the people who are in power. And there's a lot of money people with a lot of money, there's institutions, there's a lot that is related to money. And so we can feel like, well, how can I fight the system? How can I go up against these organizations that have billions of dollars that are working to create rules that are going to hurt other people, right? And I, you know, my, it's a very complex answer. And my piece of that puzzle is the more that we come into our own consciousness, the more that we can connect and we can make that declaration out to the universe, I want more. I'm ready for more. I get to let go of the history and the story. And again, those are complex. I don't mean to downplay any of it, but to get to claim my own ability to garner my own resources, right? And the more people understand that, if as individuals we all understand that, then the big organizations don't have any impact on us anymore.
Absolutely.
Right, and we can step into what we can do each as individuals.
Absolutely. Look at the protest right now. Everybody's backing off. Everybody is giving them what they want. And they are very pacific people. They're not looking for trouble. They have united their voices into one.
Right.
So imagine the most powerful thing you have as an individual is your soul. Your soul expresses itself with at least 7 chakras. There are more than but you have 7 chakras to find your way of self-expression. For some people, it's very intellectual. For others, it's very physical. Both work. Find your way and start where you are. You don't need to find a new job. You don't need to have a new relationship. If wherever you are is good for you, if it's a place of learning, make peace with who you are, make peace with where you are. And then I'm not going to go into law of attraction, anything. This is much more complicated than we think it is. But I think that to the point earlier, whatever we obsess has this magic thing about disappearing and not getting. Whenever we don't need something, we have it in abundance because we're not obsessed about, you know, our brain is going to look for everything that we don't have. This is our brain's function to keep us safe. What if we stopped that? What if we said, what I really love right now is the job that I'm doing. And we pour ourselves into this job, not, you know, with moderation, as always, balance and moderation.
Right.
But, you know, you're a coach, so you know how sometimes we just go into and we start booking all this stuff and but we find the fuel inside of ourselves because this is nourishing our souls. And all of a sudden, money starts coming in. This is where you stop and you go into, Am I receiving the right amount of money? Am I in some sort of karmic deficit in terms of what I'm receiving? And you go and you ask for a raise, or you go and then you change job if people cannot give you what you are giving out. This is the karmic balance that comes out. But mostly, I think this is for everything. Let's please, as humans, stop comparing ourselves to others. Stop seeking validation from people who will never be able to give it to us because that's not their job. And let's see what's going on well with us. Let's bless our food. Let's bless the money. Let's bless these bills because we are lucky. We can pay power, electricity. We can pay water. We can pay for the food.
Yeah.
And just let it come naturally to you. It's like everything in life. It's the flow, feeling the flow of things. It doesn't mean being passive, but it means being aligned. It means I'm doing something that I feel good about. And one last thing for me is that I always thought in my head that I work 1 hour, I be paid an hour. And that works in the corporate world, more or less. But as soon as you step out, you discover that, no, it doesn't work like this. In real life, it's you put a lot of things out there and nothing happens, but all of a sudden the money is going to come from completely different places, but you will be supported, you will be provided for because the universe, which is our big bank, is going to give you what you have been asking for, except that maybe sometimes you you know, unconsciously have not been asking for the right thing. If you're asking for power, well, money's not going to come because that's not what you asked for.
Oh, that's such a good point. And I think it's a really great way to summarize everything that we've been talking about, right? If you're asking for power, if you're asking for status, if you're asking for self-worth, right? If you're asking for respect, if you're asking for freedom, and then you look to your bank account to see if God, divine, you know, nature, whatever is responding, and you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't exist. You're asking for the wrong thing, right? We, as we allow ourselves that inside job and we give ourselves our self-respect, we understand that we as a soul are the most powerful thing on the planet. As we understand that we self-generate that respect and status is a made-up construct to, well, I don't even need to finish that sentence. It's a made-up construct. And really give ourselves permission to ask for the money and then detach, right? That's what you were talking about. When we assess about something, it can't come. When we detach, that's when the money starts to flow, right? When we stop money being the starring role for power and instead simply let it be a resource, that's when it does get to flow.
Yes. And I think the most important part as well is stop associating stories with money. So it's not because, you know, billionaires are all bad. No, they behave badly, not because they're billionaires, because as humans, they're probably not conscious. They're still operating from a lot of different places. Don't associate money with bad stories. Don't associate money with good stories. Don't. It's just money.
Right. And it tends to, money amplifies what's already in our character.
Absolutely.
Right. And so we get to, and if we're worried that it's going to amplify something bad in us, then that's just simply a cue that we have a little bit of cleanup work to do, right? To be able to get a little bit deeper into that soul connection. Yeah.
Our biggest teacher, as you said.
Yes, so true. It is so true. Well, Maida, thank you so much for this fascinating conversation. You have shared so much wisdom, and I am deeply appreciative of your time today. Thank you so much for being here.
So many thanks. I had goosebumps throughout our conversation. So thank you very much. And thank you for giving me also the occasion to share what I have been learning from a lot of different people as well. We are all teachers to each other. So thank you for being mine too.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to lead us through an exercise to bring some of all of the wisdom that we've been hearing about, kind of bring it into focus and how you can use it specifically. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange Moment. Have you been searching everywhere for answers? Do you long for wise guidance to lovingly direct you? Guess what? You have your very own divine spirit guides in the highest light, available 24/7, just waiting to help you live your best life. Call in your spirit guidance on a daily basis to help you make important decisions. All you have to do is ask. With a sense of openness, curiosity, and willingness to be divinely guided. Throughout your day, be open to notice what shows up for you. A spoken phrase, a book, a message from a song, or simply a knowing. And always offer gratitude for that loving guidance, and don't forget to put it into action. Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. No matter where you go, there you are. Did you know our lives are like mirrors? You know, in the physical world, we stand in front of a mirror and see with our physical eyes a direct reflection of our physical self. Some of us use this physical mirror to critique our body, our hair, our blemishes. On the other hand, we also have a spiritual mirror that is a direct reflection of how we think, feel, and act in spirit, and it reflects what we experience and receive. You know, true beauty, love, wisdom, and acceptance comes from within. So the soul-stretching success question of the day is, which mirror are we using to create our life? I hope you have a wonderful day filled with love, light, and beauty. See you next time.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. I'm Jennifer Bloom, your host. And today has been full of conversation about the origin of money, what we use money for, the idea that money is simply a tool, something that we, you know, it's transactional. We spend, we receive, and the fact that we often give money way more power than it was ever meant to have. We define it in ways that are, when it comes right down to it, incorrect, but it's certainly been ingrained enough in our culture that it seems normal. So what I'd like to do in this last section of the show today is to take you through an exercise to begin to take a look at how you use money and how what roles you've given it, and then what can you start to do to begin to shift out of that. Okay, and we're going to do it very simply by getting some answers from your soul. So in a moment, I'm going to walk you through connecting with your soul. And if this is something that's new to you, as a friend and colleague of mine says, just get on the bus with me and allow information to come through in whatever way it comes through. Sometimes you, depending on how you receive information, you might hear some words, you might see an image, you might just sort of get a knowing in your body. So however that information comes, trust that because we've asked for a connection with your soul, that the information that's coming through is coming through from the divine. Okay. So if you're someplace where you can close your eyes safely, I'm going to invite you to do that if it resonates with you. And I'm going to have you take a couple of nice deep breaths. I'm going to ask for body and soul to be integrated. And then imagine that you can drop your consciousness. And by that, I mean sort of your thinking, your mental thoughts. All right? Imagine that you can drop that all the way down into the center of your heart, right into the center of your chest, in the center of your heart center. And don't worry about how, just ask for it to happen. And imagine that as you drop your consciousness into your heart center, you can take a couple of nice deep breaths there. And as you are connected here, I'm gonna, if you're willing, ask divine intelligence to create a conscious connection between you and your soul. If you're somebody who knows your personal soul languages, I would invite you to connect with them. And if not, just whatever way feels best to you, asking divine intelligence to create a conscious connection between you and your soul. And then let's start asking a couple of questions. The first question is, how does the divine see money? Or how does the divine, and you can use whatever words you want, divine, God, goddess, nature, how would they define money? How would it define money? And I'm going to kind of move through these questions. You may want to take a little bit of time later to get a fuller response, but let's move to the next question. So the next question becomes, how do I define money? What's my definition of money? Again, moving forward, how am I using, in quotes, money? What does money represent to me? Maida mentioned five different representations that she's run into: power, status, self-worth, freedom, safety. Am I using money in any of those ways, or am I using money in a different way? And then the next question is, how is this impacting my flow of money? Okay, so as we've gathered this information, let's ask a couple of questions to help begin to transform this for you. So the first question becomes, what could I let go about my knowing of money that could change how I'm using money? What could I let go about what I thought I knew about money that could change how I'm using it in my day-to-day experience? What could I activate within me to simply allow money to be a resource for me? What could I activate within me to simply allow money to be a resource for me? And then the final question, at least for now, is, if I could let go what I heard about letting go, if I could activate what I heard about activating, how would that change my relationship with money? How would this change my relationship with money and therefore my bank account? Okay, beautiful. So like I said, you might need some more time with these questions, but for now, go ahead and thank your soul. And you can release that connection, take a couple of deep breaths, and allow yourself to come back into this physical time and space. Okay, so this is, let me say this. I'm going to ask you to be gentle with yourself as you're starting to ask these questions. These are ingrained stories that we've taken on, not only from our family of origin, the people that we grew up with, but from the culture, from the books that we read, the movies that we watch. There's so many messages that come in that share really inaccurate things about money. And they're woven into the fabric of our own beliefs. So as you begin to peel these beliefs back one at a time, it might take a little bit of time, but mostly what it takes is curiosity. Mostly what it takes is remembering to keep coming back to the understanding that you are a unique strand of the divine, and that you have access to all of the divine's resources. The more that you can allow yourself to, in quotes, clean up the beliefs that are opposite to that, the beliefs that say, I have to work really hard, I have to earn my money, it's better to give than receive, money is dirty, money changes people. The more you can allow yourself to come in and connect with your soul at that soul level, the easier it's going to be to release those beliefs, the easier it's going to be to see money as a resource. And at that point, it becomes easier to trust money and allow it to flow. All right. So as we're moving through this, right, if you'd like some additional help, there's a couple different ways to do that, one of which is to come to my page on Facebook. You can find me at Soul Abundance Guide on Facebook, and I share a lot of information there. If you're looking for some deeper help, if you're looking for some one-on-one help with moving through and creating transformation, I offer that as well, and please come to my website at jenniferbloom.com for that kind of help. All right. So as we wrap up today, I want to thank you for tuning in to Soul Wisdom Abundance. It's always a pleasure to spend this hour together. And I'm hoping that you are really digging in and learning more about your money relationship. So please join me for the first and third Fridays of each month. Next time that we get together, we'll be talking with a woman all around self-acceptance and beauty and how that impacts money. And we'll take that to more of an in-depth level. So have a great week, everybody, and I will see you here next time. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit jenniferbloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.